You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am not joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. He is at home eating bonbons, watching Netflix. He's not Netflixing and chilling because, you know, that's not something that he's capable of doing. But I am out here in Austin. I am recording a mailbag podcast. And let's just get straight to the questions, right? Actually, hold on. Before we do that, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone and or Panoply. We are no longer on Audio Boom anymore. So if you're listening directly to the show from Audio Boom, you're going to want to go over to Megaphone and either subscribe there or we will send out the Megaphone link on this next show here once this goes live. But Megaphone, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Alexa, Spotify, Lakers Nation, Lakers Outsiders, and all of those other good places. The major change here, though, is that we are now on Megaphone and no longer on Audio Boom. I want to say thank you to Audio Boom for getting us to where we have gotten, and I can't wait to see the new heights that we reach thanks to the good folks at Megaphone and Panoply. All right, so I sent out a request for questions on Twitter. We got some good ones about the Lakers. We got some good ones about non-Laker stuff. The only thing I requested that was it was that nobody asked about chess, because honestly, who likes chess? Like, the worst cliche in all of sports is that X or Y coach is coaching chess while other coaches are coaching checkers. Like, no, he's actually coaching basketball. If he's coaching chess, then, you know, that game probably isn't going very well. So the first question that I got, of course, was about chess. And it was from friend of the show and a fellow writer over there at Lakers Outsiders, Hani, at Hani 8HM, asks, can you pull off the Napoleon opening in chess? My response to that is, I would, except my attention span is kind of short. So, next question. From, I can't see your at, but World Series champs soon come. I appreciate the Dodgers fandom. What does Lonzo, Ingram, and Kuzma stat line in their primes look like with shooting percentages? All right, so shooting percentages are almost impossible to forecast because you never know how somebody's shot improves or regresses over the course of their career. But I do think, like, in Lonzo Ball's prime, you're looking at a guy who can average maybe 15 points, 11 assists, maybe 6.5 rebounds, a couple steals here and there. And the hope is that he becomes maybe a 33% three-point shooter and a 43 and upward percent shooter from the field. That's the hope, right? And frankly, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he improves that faction of his game. We know he's a great passer. We know he has a great mind for the game. But it's going to be interesting to see how he handles defenses playing him to pass, as defenses have done with Rajon Rondo, as defenses have done with Ricky Rubio. These guys, eventually, defenses figure out that when they dribble to the basket, they aren't doing so for their own shot. They're doing so to be able to pass the ball off to somebody else. And all the defenses do is they back off and they say, okay, try to score on us and see where that goes. It'll be interesting to see how Lonzo Ball handles that. Next guy on that list was Brandon Ingram. I think the days of forecasting him as a even secondary scorer as of right now, are probably gone. If he improves this year and he proves me wrong, awesome. Amazing. I would like nothing more than to be wrong about this. But as it stands right now, it makes no sense to think of Brandon Ingram as anything more than maybe a tertiary or a fourth option on offense. And those guys usually average about, you know, maybe 9 to 10 points a game on marginalized shooting with marginalized attempts per game. And, you know, their focus is somewhere else on the court, whether it's on defense or rebounding or facilitating, whatever it would be. That is, I think, as it stands, as I've watched Brandon Ingram, you know, through an entire rookie season and through the preseason that we've seen so far, what I've seen from him is a player who probably shouldn't be relied upon to offer any consistent scoring. He's kind of one of those guys who I think as he gets better on defense, he's going to be one of those guys who his scoring is seen as house money so long as he continues to impact the game on defense. So let's just hope he develops an ability to impact the game on defense. All right. The last guy on that list was Kyle Kuzma. I think he can average about 45 points per game on 90% true shooting percentage. I'm being kind of conservative here. I think, you know, I want to remain semi-realistic. I think 45 points per game seems high, but when you consider the ability he's shown as a rookie, it just makes no sense not to think that he is able to come through with just astronomical scoring numbers. He plays with mama mentality. Luke Walton says that he's already cutting off some of these plays to make sure he gets the ball on spot up or the right positions to be able to score. Kobe would be proud. And so if Kyle Kuzma is like some version, some evolved version of Kobe, it would be disappointing to not see Kyle Kuzma score 82 points in a single game and average 36 points over the course of a season. I'm obviously being facetious. I think Kyle Kuzma can average maybe 23 points a game, depending on the team he plays on. If he's on a bad team, I think Kuzma is capable of averaging maybe 25 plus. But if he's on a good team that prioritizes balanced scoring, as most good teams do, a 23 point per game score on a good team is incredibly valuable. All right. Next question comes from at Gen V Ruiz or G-E-N-V Ruiz. He asks, Caruso over Ennis? I see better point guard abilities in Caruso, but he can only play him so many days. But we can only play him so many days. Can they change that contract? I would agree that I think I would rather see Alex Caruso play backup point guard minutes over Tyler Ennis. He was terrible last year, and then picked it up as the season went along, and he's been okay in the preseason so far, but his being okay has a lot more to do with the expectations of what people think they can see coming from Tyler Ennis than Tyler Ennis's player itself, playing ability itself, talent itself, sorry. In terms of Alex Caruso's contract, I think this is worth talking about. So Alex Caruso is playing on what's called a two-way contract, meaning he can play up to, I think it's 45 days in the NBA, and if he goes above that, his contract becomes a minimum level contract with the NBA that's fully guaranteed, in which case the Lakers are perfectly fine with that because they found house money just kind of lying around. Just picture yourself playing at the MGM Grand, you're playing blackjack, and you just look down and you found $50 in extra chips that you have to play, but at the end of the day, you're fine with playing those $50 in extra chips because you don't necessarily know what those chips can turn out to be. Whereas Ennis, I think we kind of know what Ennis is going to be. I think he'll be a mediocre to subpar backup point guard for the course of his career. I don't trust his shooting ability. I don't trust Syracuse players coming out of the pros that are not named Carmelo Anthony, because Jim Boeheim plays a cowardice style of defense and that does nobody any favors who play for him. I don't understand why anybody, any top level recruit would go play for Syracuse. But that, all those points aside, I like Alex Caruso. I like the way he approaches the game. I like the way guys respond to him while he's on the court with them. So let's see what the Lakers got there. And if it means guaranteeing his contract over the course of the season, then so be it. That's something that I think the Lakers would be perfectly happy to do, because it's not going to be very expensive either way. At K Wang, or yeah, K Wang 1092 asks, is there anything better than pineapple on pizza? All right, so pineapple by itself on pizza isn't great, because it's you need some kind of meat on a pizza to be able to be considered pizza. Like cheese pizza is just cheesy garlic bread with marinara sauce in there somewhere. Whereas if you put pepperoni on there, that becomes pizza. But for me, if you have pineapple and ham and jalapenos, that gives you the meat that you need to be able to continue to call it pizza. That gives you some sweetness and a little bit of kick at the end. Maybe throw some crushed red pepper on there. If you need to, you can dip it in some ranch. But that, to me, is the ideal pizza. Also, I prefer thick crust pizza over the continuing to become even, you know, thinner and thinner crust. It's just wrong what we as a country have done to pizza. It's like the opposite of obesity, while also trying to help with obesity. But that's besides the point. In terms of what I prefer on pizza, give me a thick crust pizza with a zesty marinara sauce. Give me some ham, ooh, and some bacon, some pineapple, some jalapenos. Give me a side of wings. Give me a nice cold beer. And that's some great food to take in while the Dodgers win a World Series this year. Next question, at Commander Cody 28 asks, what do I think about Kuzma for Rookie of the Year? See, the problem with this is I don't know if he's going to be getting the reps consistently to create enough beyond his own scoring ability to win the Rookie of the Year. He's also going up against a pretty incredible rookie class. On his own team, he has Lonzo Ball. He's going against Ben Simmons, who hasn't played yet on an NBA court and is therefore eligible, though I think that's wrong that he is. Ben Simmons is going to be eligible for Rookie of the Year. Markelle Fultz on that very same team is also going to be eligible. You have Dennis Smith Jr., who I think is going to impress some people this year. On Utah, who the Lakers just played, Donovan Mitchell is going to impress some people this year. So I don't know if Kyle Kuzma will be one of those guys. It would surprise me if he doesn't make one of the all-rookie teams. But he's going to be one of those guys who night in, night out, when the Lakers are playing nationally, whether it's ESPN or TNT or ABC, those guys before the game are going to be like, hey, this is a guy nobody is talking about that people should be talking about. And if that's the case and Kyle Kuzma continues to meet those expectations and exceed those expectations, that means he's doing his job and has a really bright future ahead of him. I'm going to save at Call Me Kinslow's question for the very last here. Because it's such a great question. Los Angeles Tankers, I can't see your at, but how overpaid is KCP? He's not overpaid. Maybe by definition he's overpaid because of what you expect of a player making $18 to $20 million a year. He's not going to fulfill those expectations. But seeing as the Lakers couldn't have spent the money basically anywhere else, he does anything that you... He fills a lot of boxes that the Lakers needed to check off. And in that sense, you pay what you have to, and it's only for a year, in a year that the Lakers are basically just stopping the, you know, are just making sure that their flexibility moving forward is what's most important. KCP's contract is perfect for the Lakers. Los Angeles Tankers asks again, if the Lakers don't get the free agents they want, will the D'Lo be an F-up? Yes, absolutely. Look, if the Lakers don't get LeBron, if they don't get Paul George, if they don't get DeMarcus Cousins, I don't want to hear from Pelinka or Magic Johnson that they have continued flexibility moving forward. That was the bullcrap that we heard from Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss, and those guys were fired for it. So if the Lakers trade away probably the best all-around player from last year's team in order to get rid of Timofey Mozgov's contract, to have the ability to maybe get in a room with LeBron James and don't sign him, that's unmitigated failure. Period. I don't need to hear any excuses moving forward. So we'll see how that plays out. Last question from Los Angeles Tankers. Should we sell high on Ingram sooner rather than later? He's so far from a decent NBA player that I don't see him anything more than Batum. If he becomes Nicholas Batum, the Lakers would be thrilled. I don't think people recognize how good Nicholas Batum is. But here's the thing with Ingram. You can't sell high right now on Ingram because by definition you'd be selling low. So unless you can convince, say, the New Orleans Pelicans to take Brandon Ingram and Brook Lopez to be able to bring back Boogie Cousins, then other than that, it's not really worth it to send out Brandon Ingram, because you don't want to send him out just to get rid of Lou Alding's contract, because if he turns out being good, then you didn't necessarily get anything in return. Whereas if you get like a Boogie Cousins who has questions about his own game and his character that are worth talking about, but at the end of the day, you're getting something that is tangible that you have moving forward. You cannot continue to send out high-end lottery talent just to make up for the mistakes of the prior administration. That is what hurts the most, watching D'Angelo Russell play really well in New Jersey or in Brooklyn, because you're watching him and you're saying, God, it'd be great to have that kind of young talent that you have under team control for the next couple years, and then even after that you have restricted free agency where you essentially still maintain his team control, and you get to watch him grow alongside Lonzo Ball, and those two guys' games, at least offensively, you would think complement each other fairly well. But you can't do the same turnaround and do the same thing with Brandon Ingram, because if he turns out to be okay, and you sent out D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram just to get rid of the contracts of Timofey Mozgov and Lou Alding, and then you don't turn around and get LeBron James and or Paul George, but actually, and like if you get one superstar after sending out both of those contracts and both of those young players, then you're really setting a terrible precedent for future rebuilding processes. So look, I am as low as just about anybody on Brandon Ingram, but it makes no sense to send him out in a straight cash dump, because he's capable of being worth a lot more than that. So you kind of have to see what he can be as the year goes along. And if the opportunity presents itself to be able to turn Ingram into a Boogie Cousins or, say, a Paul George, you know, where you send over Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Brandon Ingram and you get back a Paul George, then you look at that opportunity at that time. But you can't rush to judgment on this kid's game to the point where you send him out just to get rid of Lou Alding's contract. That would be a flat out mistake. All right, last question here before we call it a night. This was my favorite question of the night. And as always, if I ask people for questions on Twitter, send me stuff about anything. I mean, keep it, you know, semi-G-rated, and I'll be able to answer it. But this was my favorite question of the night. At Call Me Kinslow asks, You've got a plain carne asada street taco. You can only have one topping: cheese, guacamole, sour cream, or hot sauce. What am I going with? I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to say a spicy guacamole sauce. If you've never had that, if you've never had guacamole salsa, I am really sorry for your existence to this point. Change that as soon as you possibly can. But give me that carne asada, especially if it's cooked medium rare and it's been sitting overnight and it's marinated all night. put that in a flour tortilla. Corn tortillas are garbage. Put that in a flour tortilla, douse it with some guacamole salsa, give me some kind of a Mexican beer, whether it's a Pacifico, which is my personal favorite, or if you're going to get fancy and you want to go with like a Dos Equis Amber or a Negro Modelo, then you're doing really well there. Or better yet, get yourself a margarita to go with that, and I'm telling you right now, you can't go wrong. So carne asada, guacamole salsa, flour tortilla, margarita, and Lakers basketball. And then get ready to listen to Locked On Lakers in the morning, because you know we're going to recap each and every game as the season goes along. You can find that now on Megaphone and or Panoply. And if you guys have any questions about that, make sure to add us. I am at Anthony Irwin LA. Harrison is at HM Fagan. You can send us emails at LakersLockedOn@gmail.com if you have any questions about that. So again, that's Megaphone, Panoply, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Alexa, Spotify, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. I am Anthony Irwin. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Either I or Harrison will be back at it again on Monday. Again, have a great weekend. Let's get ready for this Lakers season. Thanks for listening.